I think most of our cats are out of the bag now, so we're all good there.
I feel like we'd know. We would know.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 276 of Sapnin Podcast, featuring myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards, and no one knows, but sugar, we're going down swinging as your nightmare becomes to life.
Becomes to life.
Comes to life, innit? That, yeah.
Well, that would have been such a great... Do you know what? I was actually going to start clapping in and go...
Really?
This is the bit... No! Was I fucked? Don't ever think I was fucking... You mad fucker. No. You'll never guess, but this week's episode, if you haven't seen anything, you've just clicked on it and haven't seen the name of it. This week, we have the fantastic Danica and Jenny from the best metal festival in Europe, if not the world. Download!
And not to alarm anyone, but festival season is just around the corner. We are mere weeks away. It's the kind of shit I need camping gear equipment close. Well, not for us, but, you know, still. there's no secret of our love for Download Festival. We've been very lucky enough to cover it every year since the podcast started. We've done live stage shows, DJ sets, the Blackout reunited for it last year. Sean's played a bunch of times and I've been there as a punter or a journalist, kinda, every year since 2014. So it's safe to say it has a very special place to our hearts. And the 2024 edition is looking jam-packed as ever, from headliners Queens of the Stone Age, Fall Out Boy and Avenged Sevenfold, to Limp Bizkit and Busted,
nice.
Offspring, Enter nice. Shikari, nice. Corey Taylor,
nice.
The Used, Baby nice. Metal, Vakovi, Charlotte nice. Sands, Hoobastank,
nice.
And Sum 41's final UK festival appearance, just to name a few, proves why Donington Park is always the place to be for alternative music fans every June. And with it being one of the biggest festivals out there, a lot of work goes into this all year round behind the scenes. And two individuals on the team who we feel don't get enough of the flowers they deserve is Danica Weber and Jenny Cotter. So with everything fast approaching, we thought we'd shed some light on their jobs as part of the booking team, how bands get appeared on the festival, from the headliners to them sorting out the campsite village. Parts of the job people just literally do not see, wild festival moments, and a couple of evil scheme suggestions / rants from Sean himself.
Yeah. Apologies for that. But also, I do think it's criminal that one band gets to play every year. Anyway, it was a fucking absolutely fantastic chat with two of our favourite people who work for Download Festival. That includes Andy Coppin. So, Andy, if you are listening, we love you. We do love you. We do love you. Also, can you sort me out tickets for Stevie Nicks? She's playing Hyde Park, and I had a look this morning, and It's fucking 150 pound a ticket. Anyway, yeah. So yeah, if Live Nation could sort me out with two Stevie Nicks tickets, that'd be fucking fantastic. It would literally make me the absolute king with my girlfriend. So yeah. Anyway, yes, we got to speak to Danica and Jenny, who we love very, very much, who have been absolutely amazing to us over the years. And what an absolutely wonderful chat. What an absolutely wonderful chat we had, talking everything from curation to strange acts they've considered, disinformation, putting disinformation out there to throw people off the scent. What? It's like the UFO fucking phenomena all over again, but metal. Well, I suppose the UFOs are made of metal, aren't they? Well, some sort of alloy, apparently.
Metal things out of this world, I guess. But yeah. I just love how you've gone into business for yourself here, trying to get Stevie Nicks tickets. If that works, then maybe we should just ask for things on every episode.
Well, yeah. Well, Andy works at Live Nation. Surely you can look at. Well, yeah, I never ask Andy for anything, right? Other than can we please play Download Last Year, right? Which I guess is fair enough. That's a big ask in itself, isn't it? Yeah. But also, as Danica and Jenny mentioned, our name on the leaked poster threw some people off the scent. So, you know, and also we did trend above Bring Me the Horizon, who were one of the headliners last year. So technically, we're probably owed their fee. But, I'll settle for two Stevie Nicks tickets, please, for me and the missus.
Fair enough. But as I was saying, Download Festival is literally one of our favourite times of the year. I think it is the staple every summer of that first kind of big, long weekend out in the field, just enjoying bands. And like, yeah, we've shared so many memories. You have so many amazing memories of that festival in particular.
Oh, it's absolutely fucking brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. 2009 was the year that Limp Bizkit came back, Faith No More came back, and Korn came back, and might have been the greatest year for musical comebacks. That was the first time I stopped Fred Durst walking with his family. I said, Mr. Durst, thank you very much. My band plays second on the stage today. We wouldn't have been here if it wasn't for you. Sorry for stopping you and your family. That was the first time I met Fred Durst, technically, and his PR came over and said, thanks from them and Limp Bizkit for always talking positively about Limp Bizkit while they were away, because so many people became new metal traitors who will fucking love new metal again. Now, that's weird, isn't it? You absolute scumbags. Anyway, I'm not gatekeeping. It's been a fucking fantastic festival to me and my friends in my band, and Andy Coppin and the team at Download have always been absolutely brilliant to us, and couldn't have done any more for us. So I love it. This is a fucking good episode. Tidy.
Yeah, Download has been the land of just making friends and embracing a community of people who like different music, and I've just always look forward to it every year. And as I said, this lineup is looking absolutely insane. So it's lovely when we get the chance to have these kind of behind the scenes conversations, pull back the curtain a little bit and seeing what's going on and just day to day as they work with everything. And we should mention that it's quite nice for us to be able to coincide this with International Women's Day. Share a spotlight on two of many incredible, inspiring women working in the music industry each and every day, from on stage to behind the scenes, corporate roles, TMs, presenters, techs, PR. Music is full of hardworking women who we always appreciate getting the chance to share their stories. And a special shout out to Lege Martin Waring from Download's PR, who sorted this out for us and has just always been flying the flag, especially between us and Download.
Yes, she is. An absolute legend. And so is everyone at fucking LD. They're all fucking absolutely fantastic eggs. So yes, without further ado, this is episode 276 of Sapling Podcast. Sapling!
Sapling!
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
I did the wrong time!
No, you didn't! You didn't! You did it perfect! Oh. You did it perfectly! Do you know what? That might be the... Yeah. Your reaction time was bang on.
I was waiting for it.
And it sounded great. Yeah, because normally there is that little Sapnin gap, but I love the fact it was... Because that is typically the Sapnin greeting, which came from my hometown, Merthyr Tydfil. That's literally... You don't even get to N in, really. Sapnin! That's all it is. So,
Fab.
Thank you very much for joining us. Yes, this week we're joined by Danica and Jenny of the wonderful and ever-expanding Brilliant Download Festival. How are you both?
We're good. We're busy. It's February already.
Yep.
Yeah, we basically just... don't have downtime anymore. I think maybe for like 2 weeks after the festival, we're like, oh, it's a little bit quiet. And then it just all starts ramping up again.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine there's no sleep really. And I looked at my calendar the other day, sorting some stuff out for us. And I went, oh my God, festival season's how long away? So for you guys, I'm sure that is just constantly in the background of when's the next download.
Definitely. I was looking at my first like, oh, download was amazing Instagram post from 2023. And I said, okay, we still have a talent meeting on Monday. So it was just, we actually had no downtime.
Yeah, we actually did get back from download on the Monday. And on the Tuesday morning, we had a meeting for an hour and a half on 2024.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah, well, that's the thing, see, because a lot of people just think like festivals are put together like now for, you know, June. And I'll show an example of this. A local council in South Wales has got in touch with my friend lately about wanting to do a festival, right? He wants to do a big festival in a 12,000 capacity rugby arena in South Wales.
Mm-hmm.
In May.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, indeed. This is what I said. I was like, oh, all right, cool. Well, all right. Yeah. If we start looking now, we can maybe book someone for... You know, we can get him in now, May 2025. That's perfect. And he was like, oh, no, this year. And I was like, what, as in March, April, May?
Yeah.
And he's just like, he was like, yeah. I was like, well, number one, all of the bands who are any good have exclusivity to a festival, at least one. So you're not going to find anyone. He was like, oh, yeah, the council rec, and it'd be all right. I was like, the council don't know anyone booking gigs today.
Oh, bless.
You're a fucking idiot.
It's ambitious.
It's very ambitious. But that's the thing. Like, my point being is people, normal people, don't know how long it takes to get something like that going. So, yeah, you mentioned the Monday after last year's one. Some are saying some of the bands here had the greatest comebacks of all time. I won't go into that now. But there was a lot of chatter of some brilliant band who were mainly Welsh. But yeah. So talk us through that. What was discussed that Monday after download or Tuesday after download even?
I mean, I guess even by June the year prior, by then you usually have headliners locked in, right? Mm. So you only really start talking about deck in from top, headlining the second stage. Like you do go by size of band because typically their lead times are a lot longer. But we just go in and throw our top tier ideas at the grid and then just see if we can make it work, I think.
Yeah, Jenny and I in particular just try to go for like, what bands do we just really want to see play? Mm-hmm. And then we were like, can we ask for this band? Can we get this band? Can we get this band? And we must really annoy the rest of the team. But but yeah, it's fun just to try and, aim high and see where you land, basically.
Mm.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, before we start getting into everything and the nitty gritty of behind the scenes and whatnot, I mean, there's no surprise or secret on this podcast how much we love Download Festival. And you two are responsible for us being at the last two events doing live podcasts. So thank you very much. We deeply appreciate
that. Thank you.
But if you could just kind of, to start, walk us through your roles with the festival and Live Nation and what a typical day-to-day looks like for you both.
What don't we do? That's a really good question. our roles are slightly different generally, but on Download, we very much mirror the same role. I'm 50-50 festival, Download Festival, and 50-50 UK touring with a promoter called Cam Hack, who is also in the Download team. And when I'm not doing UK touring, it's very much the talent meetings for the Download lineup. It's liaising with marketing on artwork, making sure every single band is spelled correctly, liaising with agents on who they want to pitch, where can we find a band a slot? Do we reach out to another agent to see if a band that we haven't heard about being like active, whether they want to come back for a show? We deal with contracts, we deal with immigration, we deal with creatively, I guess. Also, we bring in like marketing partnerships, like Mary Wyatt is a brand that we both wear a lot and love and kind of hooked her up with our marketing team and made the collaboration happen last year.
Nice. I'm a Mary Wyatt fan now because they give me some. I ripped my trousers on stage last year and I had to run to Mary Wyatt and I was like, you haven't got any like tracksuit bottoms? And she's like, I've got these. And I was like, oh, can I buy them? She was like, oh no, they're for artists only. Like, we're giving away. I was like, yes, I played. Look, I ripped look, there's my crotch. And she's like, oh, good God, pull that away. And then, yeah, so if it wasn't for you, a lot of more people would have been disturbed last year at Download just because, Yeah, they would have been.
It's solid.
That's it.
So thank you. Good job with that one. Yeah,
like I say, we do, what don't we do? Yeah, so we deal with so the rest of the team. So obviously Andy, Cam, and Sean. So we work with them on all of the kind of bookings for the main arena. But Jenny and I also have taken on the whole of the Village since 2022. So you know there was no Download in 2020, and then 21 was the pilot, and then from since 22 we've kind of come in and taken over the Village bookings. So yeah, we've just kind of been trying to make it bigger and better and more diverse, and just like a massive range of entertainment from, as you know, live podcasts, loads of DJs, guest DJs, bingo, emo drag karaoke. Just like all sorts of stuff. I'm probably missing loads of great stuff that is on, and we just keep trying to kind of change it and expand every year. So hopefully this year it will be bigger and better again.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, you're doing a fantastic job. Yeah, last year was my favorite one yet for involvement, and that's not including the Blackhead stuff, obviously. I mean, for the podcast and stuff we did, and like getting to DJ there was a blessing, and doing the live podcast there. Yeah, it's just, like you said, it is getting bigger and better every year. So congratulations. Yeah. Is there any surprises on those stages this year, or is there anything bigger and better that we should know about that we haven't been told yet?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is another thing. Jenny and I, you know, we try and do every year. We're like, oh, we'll start that earlier next year. And then we get to that part of the year and we're like, oh my God, we're already basically nearly at the point that we were last year. But we're trying to start a bit earlier this year. So we're just starting to book and send offers out for the Village. We have got some confirmed secret acoustic acts, which is, yeah, there's some, I like to think, are really, really great ones. So yeah, I'm really excited for them. We've got a few more offers out on those types of things, as well as some kind of bigger kind of DJ slots and DJ kind of guest slots from bands on the bill. But, you know, all TBC, who knows?
Well, the thing is, it seems like you two have so much on your plate. Like, you're all constantly thinking about Download Festival. You will constantly have something to sort out. And I find that the booking behind these things is so interesting because, you know, most people just see the lineup, they see the four stages and think, oh, okay, cool. There's not all the other things behind the scenes of the planning, the organizing, as you said, the village and everything else in between. So what comes down to priority? Like, how do you all start this? Like, as you mentioned, I'm guessing headliners first, and then it's kind of built around that. But yeah, there's only so many slots you have. So is it just constantly giving ideas, talking to the team, seeing what's available? Or is there kind of, is there deadlines within certain sections? I mean, it's mad for us too to comprehend. So
it's basically exactly how you described it. It's just a giant puzzle, and headliners will dictate maybe sort of the vibe for that stage for the day, right? So that gives you an idea of what sort of band you'd want to aim for underneath. But then each stage underneath, particularly Avalanche and the Four stage, almost have their own personality, and the sort of, you have a certain level of expectation of what band you'd see there, right? So curation definitely comes into it. Agents are very much always making sure that their bands who are in the market that summer are very much in our inboxes. So we have already a list to pick from and to work through to start with. But we also will see who's got albums out, who did incredible tours the year prior, who we would just love to see and haven't seen for ages, maybe from a prior lineup or from a different country's festival lineups. Inspiration is from literally everywhere. Some ideas are very far-fetched and that's almost like the bit that I find the most fun. I think some of the bookings from Second Stage last year, like Placebo had never played before. They didn't tell us they were around. We were just like, let's just see. And it happened. And it was a lot of people's highlights, particularly Danica's. And every single way you can think of a band coming onto the grid as a suggestion, that's how it happens.
Yeah, I feel like one of our most random this year is probably Hoobastank. They're on nobody's lists apart from mine and Jenny's, just lists of we really love this band and we really want to see them, so can we have them playing? And somehow it just all worked out. So yeah, we're that's one we're really excited for, especially considering they're doing the Reason album in full, which again is just like banger after banger, really. I just think they're such an underrated band. And I don't think people take them seriously enough that they're brilliant. And yeah. I hope they have an amazing show.
Yeah. It's time. Yeah.
Well, at the launch party, again, that you guys put on, like when you had the screen come up with the lineup, obviously everyone's going, oh, Fall Out Boy, oh my God, Queens of the Stone Age, everything. And then I was looking, I was like, hold an absence. Hoobastank? Like the amount of people then who were like, yeah. Well, hang on. How they play? That's crazy. So I'm glad there's constant love in Download Camp for that at the moment.
I like how we're talking about Hoobastank, like the fucking Venga boys. They're a fucking rock band. They're a rock band we haven't seen for you. I get it. I love them. But yeah, we're all like, oh, I can't believe it. Fucking, yeah.
Hoobastank. Absolutely.
They're fucking brilliant. Yeah. And I'd be remiss if I didn't do Morgan's pun for him. He's missed this out. But, you know, if it wasn't for you guys, no, that doesn't work. Hoobastank being booked. The reason is you. There you go.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Maybe they'll dedicate the song to us, Jenny. Who knows?
Oh, imagine. They must. Doug. Oh, Doug. I know he listens every week. I know Doug from Hoobastank listens every week. Big fan. You've got to do that. The new reason you're coming to the UK finally again is because of Jenny and Danica. So you must dedicate the reason to them.
Yeah, I feel like there are going to be some real brutal clashes that day as well. And I don't care what happens. I'm going to be watching their full set.
The Stank, like, yeah, brilliant.
That's one of the things I wanted to bring up, because again, people don't realize that your work doesn't stop when the festival happens. Like, if anything, it kind of doubles, triples down even more. I've seen you both running about with kind of, you know, the radio sets and all that on, and just trying to, something's gone wrong somewhere, or a little detail needs to be fixed or something like that. Do you ever get a chance during the festival to actually enjoy it? Like, is there a point where you're going to be like, right, Hoobastank's on, no one radio me, I don't care if the other stages are on fire. I mean, how do you...
Everybody out!
I mean, if the stage is literally on fire, I don't know if we could continue
That's
watching
probably
a band.
Probably a bad example on my end, but yeah.
Well, I feel like last year we really moved up in the world. Jenny and I got our own buggy, which was highlight of...
highlight of my life,
basically. We're like, we've made it now. So that actually made it a lot easier for us to be able to see more bands, because essentially we've spent all year booking, you know, putting forward all these suggestions and booking these bands. And it's mainly because we want to see loads of them, which is then, yeah, a bit of a mission on the actual weekend to try and get to see everyone. And we don't manage to see everybody we want to. I was definitely, after being very pleased about Placebo confirming, I went over to the second stage to watch Placebo last year, and then did get like a panicked call from Jenny at one point. And I literally had no buggy, so I had to run from the second stage all the way back in my massive, like, clumpy, like, Doc Martens. Oh. Sorry, I'm holding a hairbrush. I don't know why. And I just had to run from that far, like, second stage all the way back. And I think you'd basically sorted it by the time I got back there. and then I ran back again and managed to catch Placebo playing Nancy Voice. So that was great. The first time in like 7 years or something.
Well, yeah, with Placebo, you said that they weren't, were they like not on cycle and you had to contact them rather than their agent reaching out? Is that what happened?
If I remember correctly, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. It's just like, yeah, sometimes we just come up with suggestions for bands that we think would be good for the slot, or that we just want to see play. And then, you know, if the team aren't already aware of their touring plans, then they kind of start to do a bit of delving and then speak to them. And that was, I'm pretty sure that was one where it's like, okay, we'll offer it, but I don't think they're going to say yes. And then they do.
And they do. That's the beauty of not booking a festival 3 months in advance, is that you could potentially dictate a summer tour for a band who maybe wasn't going to do it. It's those are the best moments I find, when it's a band that you were just like, I'm going to put it in because I love them. And it comes to fruition and you've filled an important slot. Like, that's really satisfying.
Yeah. I mean, it's same with the Used. I think that's might even be a European exclusive because they weren't planning to come over. But we also are big The Used fans. So
we've lobbied.
We've been lobbying for years for The Used.
Robbie, as he's now going by for some reason. How was his name? As he gets older, his name gets younger. I don't know. Yeah. Robbie from The Used, he goes, he has a solo album coming out next month, and the name is Robbie from The Used.
Oh. Just makes you think of Robbie Williams, but you know.
There you go.
He came on the podcast in December and started telling us stuff he shouldn't have, so that was
this is exclusive. I've got a solo record coming out. And we were like, what the fuck? Fucking Robbie from The Used.
Exclusives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is he going to change his name every album? Is he going to be like Bob from The Used at some point as well? Have you ever had to contact a band directly because you don't know who their agent is? Or has anything like that ever happened?
On the smaller end, on the much smaller bands, I think there's must have been a few where it's almost been booked direct. But it's hard to think of anything bigger.
I can't think of examples. If someone's like just coming up and maybe hasn't been assigned an agent yet, or there's a bidding war between agencies, then maybe you will get in touch via their Instagram if you know them already. A lot of us on the team do have relationships with artists as they're coming up the kind of touring world. We also often will go directly to management if there's not an agent at play. But it's rare. And typically, if there is an agent, you very much want to go via the agent. It's generally frowned upon if you kind of bypass the system that's in place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I just want, yeah, I was just thinking like of the idea of like, oh, like just sitting there going, oh, do we know who's the agent for this part? No idea. And just emailing like brian@placebo.com.
Brian.Molka. I feel like Andy and Cam seem to have some sort of like database system where they can just like look it up and they can find out who the most recent agent was. So they definitely use that sometimes when we're in our meetings.
I like to think Cam goes to bed with that book and he's just reading it. Like, yeah. At United Talent.
He's well connected, that man. Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine. Between the four or five of you, there's so many contacts and stuff there. But as we're talking about certain slots and certain bands in particular, I do need to ask, how did the Busted booking come up? Because I have spent the last 5 years on this podcast waving the flag for them being the gateway for majority of people of my generation getting into pop punk and alternative and metal music. And it's nice to see that a band like that and McFly are now starting to get their flowers and starting getting embraced by all that. So when it was announced the Busted were going to be playing, there were so many people extremely excited. So how does something like that come about as well? Is it just the same or?
I mean, we feel exactly the same for us. I think I saw them when I was about 13, which would have been about 2003. And we went to see them. We went to see Busted one day at the O2 Arena and then Blink 182 the next day. Ooh, but wow. We saw loads of people wearing kind of Download or kind of heavier band like merch at that Busted show. And the show was amazing. We had loads of fun at that show. I think it's something that's maybe been thrown around before, but then we went to the Rolling Stone awards, didn't we, Jenny?
Yes. Well, there is a story here. That's basically what Danica's trying to say.
It's a good setup. Good setup there.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we were there. We were nominees and won Fest Festival, which was insane and amazing.
Congratulations.
And I think Busted were presenting someone. And Charlie, I think, knows Andy Copping from just around and came up and was just like, saying how much he loved the festival, how stoked he was that we won, just delighted that it's doing well. And then we, as a team, got introduced to Matt Willis. And we were just chatting, saying, hey, we were fans when we were younger. This is how our music taste has developed. Like, we find that a lot of our peers went through the same journey. And God, wouldn't it be great if we had you guys for a secret set one day, just in our small village thinking, just tiny slot surprise.
Yeah.
And what transpired is, I think just from excitement, that they then reached out to their agency being like, hey, I think Download want us to play and we want to play. And then an offer sort of happened and we locked it in. And it was just from a really quite genuine meeting at an awards show. And we're so, so pleased with it.
Yeah, we were so excited to like announce with that second to do that second announcement, and although we knew when we booked it, we were, you know, we had absolutely no doubt that like this will go down amazingly at the festival, it'll be absolutely packed out. What we expected upon announcement was a lot of complaints and a lot of moaning, but actually we were really pleasantly surprised at how well it went down. We thought, you know, we'd get all like the metal elitists and all of the kind of just more of the like old school people really, really moaning about it. But everyone kind of, not everyone, but the majority of people really seemed to embrace it. And it was amazing. Yeah, we're really pleased.
Yeah. Well, it's one of the things I'm most excited for this summer already. You're going to mosh to what I would go to school for on the Friday and then break stuff by Limp Bizkit on the Sunday. Perfect.
Back for break stuff, yeah, that's awesome. Busted a play in the same year Fight Star and back. Was there ever any talk of Fight Star?
Yep. Play? There was. Yeah, we definitely considered that. And I think we did even speak to them about it. I think a lot of it was the reason why they didn't play was because they do have a show in April. And how we tend to work is if they've, on the whole, if the artist has a tour, like, you know, shortly before or already announced for afterwards, then we tend to avoid them that year and then maybe go back to them a year so that it is more of an exclusive. So I think that was the kind of main reason we didn't look at them this time.
Yeah, lots of bands will plan either a festival 1 year and then prioritize their touring. Like, it's very much not a no as a whole, just no for this year. And it's to do with their wider plans, which goes for every single band. It's often the case that we probably have offered every band that has been suggested on like the Facebook group, for example, yeah. But it's not only our decision. The bands also have albums to plan for and worldwide touring to account for. So it just, if it doesn't work out 1 year, it usually works out the next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like, yeah, a lot of people don't understand that. They just think it's like, well, Download didn't get who I wanted. And it's like, perhaps who you wanted wasn't available, you fuck. Like, it's just mad. And then,
yeah
to go back to the busted thing, the only people I saw whinging about it were literally long-haired metal fellas whose girlfriends will be in the busted tent. So that's it.
Yeah, but. And they will probably be there as well, let's be honest. Hmm.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Yeah, they'll all be there going, oh, I hate this, what I go to school for. Yeah, you fucking prick. Yeah, got you.
Yeah.
That's what you should do. You should employ photographers, right, to go around taking photos of fellas in battle jackets, watching Busted, and then blackmail those fellas to pay for the photographers to delete the pictures.
Well,
Morgan, delete that from this podcast. I've just had a rogue business idea. Nobody tell Andy if you see me with a giant camera at Download, you did not, because hey, I'm not. Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be the one in the media tent with all the photographers. I'm sure you can work out some kind of deal there.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, that's true. But I just love, literally, perfect example again of you never stop working. Even when you're at an award show, as opposed to kind of enjoy the moment, you're booking a band simultaneously at the same time. And yeah, there's so much things to consider. People don't really understand this. But while looking and talking about this year's lineup, I feel like the last two really hit me with the fact that it seems to be more of a general younger approach to the festival, if for lack of better terms. I mean, you know, you still have so many of the greats in that kind of metal world that people have spent years looking at and want to see at these things. But a lot of bands maybe getting their opportunities for the first time, or headlining a festival for the first time, or someone like Bad Omens headlining a second stage because of their growth and everything. I mean, was that a conscious decision planning these lineups now, or is it just a fulfillment of everyone who was said was the next generation has just become that now and has lived up to that hype?
Kind of a mix, isn't it? Because it is a total responsibility for the future survival of the festival to ensure that you are growing bands systematically up the steps. You can't placate yourself with just one level of headliner, because what if 1 year they're all not available? What if just through age, some of them come out of touring like abilities? It's not responsible to sort of gatekeep headliner status. But you do that from the bottom. You don't just like unexpectedly make a band a headliner. Like, that goes, we very clearly will always be like, what stage were they at last time? What was their last gig? How much did they grow from their last tour? Like, we want to see upwards progression through all the bands, and they're most noticeable, I guess, when they reach a headliner slot. But it's also fed by, I guess, our personal music taste becoming what is now seen as a bit more heritage and a bit more established. I mean, that makes me feel old, believe me. But if all the bands that I was obsessed with and that are the reason why I'm in music now are reaching those 20-year album milestones, then yeah, they probably have a catalog and a fan base that is much bigger than when you would have booked them in 2020 or 2015. You also see festivals, we draw a lot of inspiration from festivals like When We Were Young and Sick New World, who are having massive success with, I think, fresh success with those genres, and like a total revival of emo, new metal, and sort of that era, which maybe wasn't taken as seriously back then. I mean, certainly I took it seriously, but maybe generally it wasn't taken as seriously. And I think that's in a really organic way becoming what draws bigger crowds now.
Yes, well, I'm glad we've got somebody on the inside who's got similar tastes to me when it comes to music and nostalgia. I love this year. I think it's absolutely fucking fantastic, and it's very refreshing as well. So yes, congratulations.
It must be difficult sometimes to not just stay in that download world and have a look outside, but it's nice to see that you are looking at these other festivals and looking what other people are doing to kind of just to see the vibe. I mean, because you're so busy, you could just have the blinkers on and just be like, well, all you know is that there's bands for download. But to see what is working in other places and trying to incorporate that, that seems like that's a big thing behind stuff as well.
I think in comparison to 20 years ago, when we were like emo kids, or, you know, or there were goths and there were this, that and the other, I think fans in general are way more open to more genres now. So it does make it easier for us to then, because we also have, you know, wide ranging kind of tastes in music, to kind of be able to kind of, bring in some things that are maybe a little bit more unexpected for download, and just to kind of grow it in that sense.
It is scary though, isn't it? Like, there's such a download is, it really knows its identity. It's got a fan base that it's so dedicated to download. Like, it is a lifestyle to a lot of people, and change can be scary. But it's been generally well received. And I see a lot of self-correction actually on download socials, where one person might be like, oh, what do you mean? This doesn't belong here. It's not even us that has to explain it. Like, another fan will just be like, hey, like, no, they actually do fit in on this stage, or they do have the accolades, or don't be so elitist. So it's actually really helpful for our nerves, at least, just to see that it's going down positively.
And what I always say to that as well is, you've got four packed stages, so there's always something else on at the same time. So you can always go and check something else out. But while we're talking about lineups as well, I feel like whenever a festival announces something, there's always a look at how diverse it is lately, and not just in kinds of genre and entertainment, but kind of just gender, race, sexuality, and representation within the lineup. I mean, as two women on the booking team, how do you go about making sure that everyone has an equal playing field?
I think, again, I naturally just love loads of artists that are more diverse. I love loads of like female singers, or, you know, or whatever it might be. So I think naturally we're putting them forward along with the other bands that we love. And we are offering on lots of them. They don't all come to fruition in the same year. But, you know, I think it has kind of been kind of growing, the amount of kind of females and the amount of kind of people of color and that kind of thing is, you know, we always are bearing it in mind and are aware of trying to be aware of things that are coming through.
I think it's partly quite organic, like Danica said, and also when I know how it's going to go for 2025, right? I know when we're going to start having these meetings. So when I'm putting together my like reams of wish lists, maybe I'll just make sure certain options are at the top. It doesn't mean they're more deserving. It doesn't mean they're better than anything else. It just, I'm consciously, and I know Danica, you do this, making the effort that maybe they get first suggestion. And that's been quite helpful. If that doesn't work out, if for whatever reason, there's something else that needs to go in there, or their offer is rejected, whatever, that's fine. But I think it's just giving it that slight bit of attention earlier in the booking.
Yeah, definitely. So that we're always giving them the slot that is relevant to them and their ticket sales and their popularity, as we would with any band. But yeah, it's maybe if it came up partway through the booking process, then it might be that we then just don't have the slot left that is suitable for them. So maybe it is kind of bringing it up earlier so that they can at least have a chance of having a spot.
And with The Village, we actually have a ton more control just because DJs and entertainment within the UK is much easier to make offers to. It's less complicated, basically. So we're able to have a lot more input on exactly how we book anything Village related. And I think it's been noticeable in the last few years. And if everyone's singing The Village's praises, then something's working there.
Oh, it's definitely growing. It's definitely, it's come on leaps and bounds like the last 2 years. So I can see how people would just stay there for the weekend and just feel like, I'm here now. That's it. I don't need to move.
Yeah. Well, we're excited because obviously 2022 was a year when a lot of things had been rolled over multiple times and, you know, was back and forth. And then we had that new kind of outside Village and we were just exceptionally lucky with good weather. We knew for 2023 that it needed to be indoors. And then we are actually really surprised when we arrived to see a 10,000 capacity tent as the doghouse because we'd been told it was going to be a 5,000 capacity tent.
We were like,
hold on. We just got there on like the Tuesday or I think it was the Tuesday. We were like, this is massive. What's going on? So again, and then obviously last year we only had the one full day in The Village on the Wednesday. So it's going to be exciting this year to be able to do like a two full days of kind of programming in there, as well as all the kind of evenings until 3 a.m. every day.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, you guys can't get that much sleep at the festivals either because you've got to be there. Didn't think of that.
Four days was hard, yeah. Let me tell you.
Yeah. Sometimes, I mean, I think 2022, we basically did stay up till 3 a.m. every day, but for the five nights. But I think last year I tried to skulk off by about 2 a.m., you know, got an extra hour in places. But yeah, it was, we don't get a lot of sleep. Yeah. We really don't.
I was going to mention how, less stressful is it already this year not having the extra day celebrating last year's 20th anniversary?
Yeah, I mean, it's just generally less happening, isn't it? And like one less intense day. I definitely felt the difference last year as opposed to the previous years. But I think you feel it the most on site. I think we're going to feel it less in the build up, but actually it being shorter in the main arena might save my body.
Yeah, a lot of walking.
Was there any out of the blue acts considered this year that we nearly got that we didn't get?
Out of the blue, I mean, we really did try to get Avril Lavigne again this year, and we've been trying for a few years. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but yeah, we would love. I mean, Avril Lavigne, we love her and would love her to play. But it just didn't work out. It's really interesting because I think the feedback, you know, maybe like a year ago was that people, you know, it was really negative. And then as she started getting announced on festivals this year in Europe, all I kept seeing was like comments of people saying, oh, yeah, we want Avril down, we want Avril. And I was like, I knew they did.
You got there eventually.
But actually, it didn't work out this year. But who knows, one day.
Oh, but it's not that we forget. We want people to know that it's not that it just didn't occur to us. Like, yeah. Of course it occurs
All
to
of
us.
These things occur to us, yeah. It just, yeah, there's always a reason why. I feel like this year in particular, we have thought of every possible band for like almost every slot. And there's always a reason why if they're not playing, they're probably not playing.
I don't know if you lit. That was literally my reaction to you saying Avril. Then that is a dream lineup for download for me. Especially, I don't know if she has any anniversaries coming up. But if you can get her to play one of the first two albums in full as well.
Oh yeah, those first two albums. Yeah,
actually, well, she's doing like a greatest hits tour in the US. So
yeah. Yeah. And I mean, she is doing some shows in the UK this year at some of those like festival summary sessions style things. So I wonder if she'll do that same kind of greatest hit style set there. I don't know. We'll have to go.
The thing is, every year is technically an anniversary for one of our albums, I guess. It's just not the 20th or the 25th or whatever. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. She'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
When the copping came on, he did tell us one year that he was very close to booking Jay-Z as a headliner.
So, Jason Zed.
The one and only. Has there ever been like discussions for left field people like that more often of like
left field?
maybe not like on a headliner slot, but just think, oh, I wonder if we can get like more of these out of the box people in every now and again to come in? Or was Coppin just really trying for Jason Zed one year?
I mean, that one is particularly out there. I'm guessing must have been around the kind of Linkin Park Jay-Z times. So I guess it works in that respect. I can't think of anyone off the top of my head that's as out there as that one.
Not as out there as that, but there's always conversations of, like, I think maybe less recently, but at some point Prodigy would have been a really left field suggestion. Oh, yeah. Whereas now everyone would be like, oh, absolutely, I get it on the lineup. So it's only with hindsight do you actually realize that nothing is that left field, because I mean, unless you book like Destiny's Child, like that would be weird, right?
I'd be for it. I'd be up for it.
There's Coppin can be, he does push some interesting ideas and it will simmer for a few years and it might get knocked down, maybe like a Busted, for example, and then there's just a year where it's right for it. So you know, you never know.
I'd love to see Andy just burst into a meeting going, I've got it! Destiny's Child! Let's get Bianchi, Kelly Rowlands, and the other one back together!
He'd definitely be a lot more cool and calm about it. He'd sit there and go, so, I've got this one on my list.
Yeah. How about this?
What do you guys think? Hear me out. What do you guys think about this one?
Yeah, what about the Michael Jackson hologram? Yes, Michael Jackson hologram. Oh, tell you what, yeah. I tell you what, I'll come to you guys the Tuesday after download this year, and I'll pop in with some crazy suggestions, and we'll have Tupac and Michael Jackson performing together next year.
That'd get be it in early, yeah.
Yeah. Well, no idea is a bad idea, but
Jenny and I really did. Jenny and I really did have to learn that. I think when we first joined the team, it was like we were a bit more scared about putting our more nervous about putting our kind of opinions and suggestions across. And, you know, Andy was like, you know, we really want you guys to speak up in meetings. And now they can't shut us up.
Leave it, Danica. Leave it. Britney Spears can't do a knife show on the tent in the tent in the village.
Yeah. I will continue to ask for Incubus every single year without fail.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Get Britney Spears to do some sort of live knife show.
You know, knife show.
Yeah. That sounds like village activity to me.
Well, yeah, it's very Fuel Girls-esque. Like, if you could get Britney Spears to do Fuel Girls.
Maybe she could bring her snake as well.
The problem is she's not... I genuinely don't know if she's far from having to do stuff like knife dancing for a living.
Britney will always be an icon.
I'm not fucking doing it to her. I'm not fucking making her dance these fucking Instagram videos. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just saying she looks a bit mad lately.
We'd gladly have her. We'll book her. Good. It's fine.
Yes. That's it. Exclusive Britney Spears playing 2025.
Oh, you're the first.
Yep.
Cool. I don't know how we've got here, but here we are. Okay. But speaking of copping, I mean, to the public, he has become that kind of figurehead, like face for people to kind of recognize behind the festival, especially in the media and all that. Well, I say face, I should say cowboy hat, really. But like just having that trust from him to be able to have certain aspects of the festival where he's just like, you just go and you book that, you do what you think is right. Must be so just cool and rewarding in many ways when you think of like how far Download has come over the decades and how at some points it's just really been his baby.
Yeah,
it's
massively.
Real. Pinch me.
Yeah, so I was just going to say massively, like the village is literally like that. He literally just lets us do whatever the hell we want. And it's just feels like I think the village in particular feels like a really creative like role to have, because there are just you know, anything could potentially go, you know?
It's very sweet. As you remember, the first year we were officially assigned, it was 2022. And I remember walking away from the Sunday night headliner and I bumped into him and he held my arm and he was like, quite emotionally, he was like, what you guys have done with that area, I'm so proud of you both. And that's just copying through and through, isn't it? He like will trust you, believe in you, support you, and then just be so proud of you. So it's really great.
Funnily enough, other 22 one, I remember because me and Morgan DJed, I went on to Andy after and I said, Danica and Jenny have done fucking fabulously with this. And he mirrored how proud he was of you guys. So yeah, unbelievable. But yeah, to have the backing of that maniac is fucking brilliant. I love him as well. So.
Yeah. Yes. Like I think he popped down. I think he popped to the village on Thursday in 2022 and was just like, oh my God. Like, and it came and stood side stage for whatever was happening at that moment in the evening. It was just like, what? he wasn't aware of just like everyone and everything that was going on there. It was,
That's definitely how it seemed when he was there. I was like, they've done such a great job. And he was just like looking around. He was like, yeah, I know. And I'm just like, bro, you should know. What do you mean? Yeah, you should know. Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah, it was fantastic to see him so happy. And yeah, great job by all.
During all this as well, you must have had some like weird requests when booking people in terms of like riders or things they've asked for or things they've maybe tried to get out of the festival for free. I mean, you don't have to name names. It would be nice if you could, but you know, professional environment and all that. But is there any like weird things you've had to deal with and be like, wait, why do they want this? Or what do they want?
Didn't someone ask for some sort of like lamb's head or something?
A pig's heart. It was a pig's heart.
Sorry.
On ice. Yeah, a pig's heart on ice. I won't name the act.
I don't think they got it.
No, I said, you can ignore this one, probably. This is fine. But the famous one, I guess, is the biggest rider request was AC/DC with a bespoke stage. That was
that's quite
a big request. Well documented.
Pretty arrogant when you think about it. Do you know what? We'd like an all new stage. None of the other scumbags have touched. Ah, Brian and the boys, come on.
if you could, you would.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. That is crazy. Like, I'm just thinking about like being their manager or their booking agent must be fucking mental. Like, you've got to go back to a festival and be like, right, thanks for the offer. It's a relatively good offer, but we're going to need our whole new stage just for it. Like,
hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Just sending that email to me, I'd be like, I can't believe they want me to ask this. It's never going to happen, is it? Copping's got back.
The answer has to be yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Copping's got back straight away. Yes. Hey, lovely. Yeah. Why, hey, man, fucking hell. Yeah.
Pig's heart, though, that's...
Oh. Pig's heart, yeah. Do you know what? I'm sad the blacker didn't get that writer request we put in.
Hey! Well, I'm glad that is a weird one, but I'm glad it's not a regular experience then, because you hear things online sometimes that people just try and see what they can get away with, but...
Yeah, I mean, actually, I always read them and I'm always like, what am I going to find? And generally they're pretty boring and they're like, bananas and tea. And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
But you do get the odd, weird thing. There's one band this year, actually, that are like asking for a very specific type of spirit. And it's so rare that we're not even going to source it ourselves. They're going to bring it and we are going to reimburse them. So
I was going to say, yeah. Ignore that they've got some fucking flammable moonshine on site, like, yeah. Don't put that near any fucking lights now, you maniacs. Coming over here with your explodable booze. Here's a question I've got. Who and why? Oh, let's start with who. Who is the Elvana fan?
That's Andy.
Fucking hell. Jesus Christ. What do they know that I don't know about Andy?
So I believe last year something happened where their set got cut short. And then Andy promised them that they could finish it this year.
What happened. Oh my God. So basically, hiya guys. If you're in a band playing Download this year, just don't do the last 5 minutes of your set. Yeah. You've got a set for next year for free. For paid as well.
Yeah. Not for free. The opposite. Not for free.
No, the opposite, yeah. Do you want to get paid to play a major festival? Finish 5 minutes early. Oh, what a great idea. I'm going to, yeah. Yeah. I've questioned that for years.
You'll have to take that one up with Andy.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, I will. I will. When I see him, I'm going to go, oh, what's going on, Bill, then?
But as much as Sean is doing this, I bet you there was people doing the same thing, being like, oh, why have they got the Blacker back together? So,
I can't believe the Blacker are playing original songs they actually wrote themselves and are not just pretending to be a fat man in a suit doing songs by a suicide enthusiast.
Do you know what, though? I distinctly remember the announcement day for 2023, which when we announced almost all of the bands, well, or like 80 bands. Do you know what? Obviously, everyone's talking about like the headliners, blah, blah, blah. But the Blackout were mentioned a lot. We were like, oh my God, people are loving the Blackout. Not that we were surprised.
Oh my God. Fucking idiots. Yeah. Oh my God, everyone's gone deaf. I can't remember.
But do you know what, though? It actually helped us because we had so many leaks last year that when that post was going around, loads of people thought it wasn't real because the Blackout were on it.
Nobody would book these pricks again, surely. Yeah, it's a definite fake poster.
And the reason that they know that they're real posters is when Elvana's on there.
That's it. Fucking Elvana. Coming over here and stealing our jobs. What was I going to say? Yeah, oh, that Blackout. Yeah, so the announcement for 2023... the trending topics were Slipknot Metallica was number 20 in the UK. Number 21 was Nurses. They've had an hard time. Fair play to them, right? Number 23 was The Blackout. So I emailed Andy Coppin straight away and I said, hiya, Andy. I don't want to swap positions, but I will swap fees with Bring Me the Horizon. And for some reason, we didn't get it, sadly. Don't know why.
I'm sure he considered it.
We definitely drew more attention to the first one with me. That was lovely to see because we were shitting ourselves when it was going to be announced. We were like, oh, no, here we go. We're going to be fucking booed to death.
But
it was lovely. It was fantastic. And I posted a photo today, actually, on the Blackout's Instagram, reminiscing about that wonderful, wonderful experience we had. It was beautiful. We weren't expecting anybody to turn up and a lot of people turned up and I seemed to know one in every five people that was there as well. So, which was amazing. Mad. So I stand on the barrier like going, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh, I'm forgetting I've got to do the songs I'm meant to be doing right now. But it was amazing. So thank you again for having us.
We're so pleased you had an amazing time.
Yeah, it's always good there. Yeah, we've never not had a great time, and Andy's always been lovely to us, even when back when we had a booking agent and he hated our booking agent, he would come directly to us rather than...
Interesting.
Okay, there you go.
See.
You were the answer.
Oh. Before, So, didn't like our agent, so then he just emailed me and go, oh, do you want to do the download? I'm not going through your booking agent. Here's the offer. And I'd go, yeah, tidy. And he'd be like, right, see you there. Oh, the end. Thank you.
Only Andy could do that. We're not allowed.
We'd. It's not within our power.
He did strongly hate our booking agent. So I can't blame him if that's what his thing.
Tell me who it is later, please. That's interesting.
Yeah, I can do. I definitely will, yeah.
Well, as we start to wind down on this conversation a little bit, because we appreciate you guys have taken so much time and we've been very, very busy schedule. I'm sure you've got a million things to do today. But yeah, just a couple of last things. I mean, you mentioned leaks there and, you know, people all year round, before anything is officially announced, just make up, just random posters come out and stuff. But when actual leaks happen, how damaging is that? Or like, how annoying is it? And like, is there anyone on the team?
Yeah. Do you ever find the people?
Yeah. Is there someone on the team who kind of traces it back to see where it's come from? Or like,
it's really annoying, especially like when you feel like, For that one in 23, we were so close to, like, you know, the launch party and everything. Mm. So it did feel like it slightly took away from the surprise effect. I mean, we had another leak this year, didn't we? We did have a leak this year. I guess in a way, it's not totally damaging because, you know, I think we actually just sold loads more tickets when it was leaked.
Yeah.
So
it's like a hype thing as well. Yeah.
It's one of those things.
It's nice to have the interest.
Yeah. It's great that people are so wanting to know what it is and so bothered about it. But yeah, it's a bit annoying. But we do try to around the second announcement for 23, we were so fed up of all the leaks that we actually did kind of put a bit of a watermark on them, but it didn't totally narrow it down, but it narrowed it down to, it was around like one agency and about four bands it could be. And then they thought, I think they got a bit of a telling off. I think it's just that thing where people send it, or I'm guessing like, well, you know, we only send it out to the agents. The agents then send it on to, you know, bands and whatnot. And I guess they kind of excitedly share it with their mates, not expecting them to then post it online.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, it's just one of those things. It didn't happen for the second announcement this year because we just didn't send the poster out until the very, very last minute.
That's a good idea. Genius.
If you don't tell people until the day,
unbelievable.
Yeah,
I saw so many people on the forums just being like, I can't believe we haven't. It's like the announcement's in like a few hours and we still haven't had a leak. No one's said anything.
Do you know as well though? For any first announcement, I could see on the Facebook group, not even sharing artwork, just literally writing names of bands. And there was one person who wrote our headliners and a couple of others. Obviously, it's not the most predictable download lineup. So I was like, no, this person knows it. This person has a leak. And I screenshotted it to Cam and I was like, who is this person? And we like all panicked for a while, but then no one believed him and it was hilarious.
Wow. Did he have any inside info or was it just a lucky guess as well?
He must have had inside info.
I'm Andy Corbin. I know. And I'd be like, shut up, Andy. I've got a clue.
Wow. Well, on the positive side to it, I mean, we've said so much for us how much we're looking forward to 2024, and just all year downloads is always a staple for us, and just having a good time and just enjoying our summer. It would be completely different without it. And in that regard, do you have any favorite download memories over the last how many years of either working at the festival or just going there? And can you also tell us one thing about 2024 that you're excited to experience yourselves?
I think one of my main memories is the first time we ever, I mean, I've always gone to download. Being involved in download is different, but obviously so significant to me. Booking those first run of secret sets in the village, didn't know how it would go down, thought they'd be empty. They were all incredible. All the bands played longer because they were loving it. So special for the crowd. And there was no precedent for it. Mm-hmm. And I just remember watching it and feeling so elated.
Yeah.
That was in 22. That was really, really special.
Yeah. Holding Absence for one of those bands, your fellow Welshies. Mm-hmm. And they just sounded incredible. And I think all of the bands that were about to go on, you know, everyone, no one thought anything of it. They're all tired from a really long day and they'd probably played their sets during the day as well. And no one was expecting anything. They just wanted to get on, get off, you know. And then, like Jenny said, they just all ended up playing for longer just because it was just such a nice kind of intimate experience and everyone was singing along to every word. It was very cute.
Yeah. Very cute.
Well, I remember seeing Punk Rock Factory at the 22 one. Mm-hmm. And that was fucking nuts because I went into that. I'm very friendly with the boys and I love the boys and I know what their crowd, like I've been on tour with them since DJing on their tour and they have the most diverse crowd I've ever come across. We played Bournemouth and they had from 5-year-olds to 65-year-olds there.
Yeah.
They had a guy come up to him who was like 45. He was like, this is my first ever gig. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? And then at Download, I was like, oh, I love the boys, but I don't know how this is going to go. And it turns out it was better than fucking anything could have fucking gone for.
Yeah.
It was absolutely rammed. And yeah, the crowds they got were amazing. Just a testament to you guys for taking those chances and booking those fantastic acts. So well done.
Yeah.
I think it's testament to downloaders as well that it's not this stiff upper lip like metal or death. You know, it's like there is open-mindedness and they literally just want to have fun. And I think it's really easy to forget that.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite moments that is in my head because I actually was showing one of the promoters in the office and Jenny one of the videos the other day was when last year on the Saturday night at midnight we had a secret acoustic set from Simple Plan in the village and they played all the hits and they played a few covers and it was just everyone was singing that, you know, that tent was packed out with like the 10,000 people or whatnot. And everyone was just singing along to every word. And I think they were a bit concerned about going on. They were like, oh, maybe we should have played full band rather than acoustic. And we're like, no, this is going to be great. They played full band during the day. And yeah, they went on and they definitely came off smiling. So that was great. And I love watching those videos. That was an amazing, amazing set.
And anything in particular for this lineup and for 2024 that you're excited for people to experience or you're just excited for yourselves?
I mean, Hoobastank playing The Reason in Full. The Used, Billy Talent. I'm really excited for things like Alt Black Era and like smaller acts like that are just coming through. We think that they're amazing. We saw them at Reading Festival last year and we're just straight away like, yes, we need them to play. Is there anyone on your list, Jenny?
I'm kind of sad to probably be seeing Sum 41 for the last time, at least at a UK festival, but I think they're going to bring it, basically. Yeah. I'm very, very excited for that. I also can't wait to see Shikari on the main stage that high up. I think that's going to be really incredible. And The Used. I genuinely cannot wait to see The Used again.
Yeah.
Actually, and Limp Bizkit. Oh, and Busted. Mm-hmm. We haven't mentioned Busted, guys. There are lots of things. I'm excited for loads. And we're going to be running around again. We'll say hi. We'll wave when we go past in our little buggy.
Oh, yeah. Well, me and Morgan are trudging around on foot.
Yeah, with our equipment.
We've got to get a press. Come on, Morgan. Beep, beep. Hi, boys.
You'll have to jump on the back. I'll give you a lift.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If you could... If you could take us directly to Fred Durst's dressing room, would be helpful because he's not replying to Sean's DMs and we need to make that happen. Right. So
I'm sure he won't mind.
He sees him. I know he sees him and he likes him, but he never... I've literally sent him a message saying, "Aya, come on my podcast. Let me remove for an hour. That's all it's going to be. I won't talk about anything you don't want to talk about. I won't talk about your album, the film you made that failed and all that shit. Let me just be fucking, you know, thank you for everything I've got." And he'll just send like a love heart and some lightning bolts back. And I'm like, that doesn't mean anything.
What do I do? Okay, we'll sort it. It'll be fine.
Please. If or Mike Patton, because he's there with Mr. Bangle. We're not fussy. Either or would do.
So I've had one of my Holy Trinity frontmen on so far. So the next two I need to get and to complete the lot are Mike Patton and Fred Durst. So
who's your other Holy Trinity?
Daryl Palumbo of Glassjaw, Head Automatica.
We
had him on a couple of weeks ago and that was a dream come true. And I was like a teenage child, just, shut up. Yeah, so.
Amazing.
Just Patton and Durst, and then we're done. Well, we're not done. Yeah, I'm not going to kill myself. It sounds like it's going to be really bad. Yeah, just speak to Mike Patton and Fred Durst then, and then eternal darkness for me. Yay! But no, I can't wait. But thank you very much for your time. Thank you very much for how well you've treated us, myself as well, my bands. For getting me and Morgan to do a live podcast there, and DJ has been absolutely fantastic. And as he said, Download is one of the standout points in our summer that we absolutely love and we cannot wait for every year. So thank you guys for your involvement and for making these lineups as brilliant as they are.
Oh, well, thank you. And thanks for coming back in multiple capacities all the time. I'm sure we'll see you in the future. Welcome.
Anytime. Yeah, I love it there.
Yeah, if there's ever anything you want us to do, we're more than happy. We're more than happy just to be there. So, thank you so much for everything. And I'm sure we'll see you before Download, but definitely see you in the field.
Thank you, guys.
See you then.
You're listening to Sammy Podcast! Yes! Woo! Yes. That was the fantastic Danica and Jenny of Download Festival. Danica Weber and Jenny Cotter of Download Festival. Pair of fucking legends who have been absolutely delightful to us since the Blackout, really, since back when the Blackout first started playing Download to now. The way they give us access and let us do stuff is absolutely fantastic and next to none. So thank you very much to Danica and Jenny. What a great insight and chat at everything that goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Mental.
Yeah, that's why I love getting to do these episodes, because it is a different look and you do discover a lot of things that people just don't know about, if it's just because, you know, they're not in the industry or you just don't realize, you know, all music fans see as the posters, don't get to realize all the months and months of work that into it beforehand. And obviously, you know, Andy Copping, we have much, much love for him. He's been on the podcast before and gave us such a really in-depth conversation about stuff on his level. So go back and listen back to that if you fancy it. But it's nice just to get other members of the team, and because, you know, this Download is so fucking big. It's not just...
That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
People just think it's just Andy.
Yeah.
People just think Andy just takes his fucking cowboy hat off and then he's got like loads of a plethora of names that he just picks out of that, which he's got to change the Alvana one because it's obvious that he keeps picking that out every year. So get that, twinking change. What a brilliant chat. And yeah, like you said, there's so many people behind the scenes that need thanking and appreciation for these festivals they put on. It's not just the one person that you see constantly use the face of it. There's whole teams of it. So it's the same for every festival, Reading Festival, Slam Dunk Festival, all of the festivals, really. It's not just one person making all the shots and calls. It's a fucking team of legends. So thank you very much to Download for giving us this behind the scenes look at it all.
Yeah, they've just been posting that it's officially less than 100 days till download. Ooh. And tickets are getting very, very low on certain packages. A lot of them have already sold out, but if you need to get a ticket ASAP, Rocky, he's not playing. No. go to the website, have a look at everything, and get yourself to Donington Park, because every single June is one of the highlights of the year, and especially the summer. Limp Bizkit and Busted are the same festival. Class. Yep.
Unbelievable. But also, I think, if you go back to when we first spoke to Charlie, when Busted were playing Cardiff, we said to him, Busted should be playing more rock festivals. And then we said, imagine how brilliant it would be if we did something like a Slam Dunk. The year later, what do they end up doing? Slam Dunk. That's us, isn't it? We've created that. Also, now, through that, through how amazing that was for them, and we spoke to Charlie after that, after he got slightly inebriated, go back and check slightly, that Slam Dunk episode out. He was slightly inebriated and called us Welsh cunts. He was buzzing because he wasn't expecting such a brilliant, visceral reaction. So the fact they're playing Download this year, it's got a little bit to do with us. I don't want 10%. I just want a nod to say thank you very much to Sapling Podcast for making us realise that this was all fucking possible. And now we're kings of fucking the second stage.
I might get special Sapling t-shirts made and demand they wear them for the set.
Oh, well, it's the very least they could do. Very least they could do. If they're not going to give us a fucking cut of it, they got to fucking at least do an ad for it. They can say hashtag ad on stage if they want.
Yeah, they can do. They can do that. I mean, I would appreciate if they'd bring me out so I can sing one of the songs with them, but I guess the ad would probably be better.
For our sake, I'd rather the ad.
Yeah, I don't want to butcher David.
I think it would do more damage to us if people heard your singing voice than it would if they just saw Charlie wearing a Sapling t-shirt on stage.
Probably. But
apologies for that. Sorry about that.
I'll give you that. No one wants a mental image of me singing now. Either.
Do you know what? I was hoping you would do it on the Emo's Not Dead karaoke band.
I didn't happen in the end. I didn't realise how big the queue was.
What would you have sung?
I was ready to sing My Own Worst Enemy by Lit.
Oh, nice.
I was ready. Nice. And
let's get back to... we've gone. A tangent.
Yeah. Yes, but we'll have more stories about the Emo's Not Dead cruise, and we're going to dive into it so much next week. And next Friday on this podcast, we're going to have conversations on the boat and just telling you about all the random shit we saw, experienced, we got up to, and life for me in Miami. So click subscribe wherever you listen to this podcast, and follow us at Sapling Pod on Instagram and the app formerly known as Twitter to get all your updates straight away. But if you want even more, if you want all the news first before anyone else, go and sign up over our Patreon page, patreon.com/Sapling. On there, you get a load of exclusives, but you get included into a community of people who will literally become your best friends. I can't even begin to tell you how heartwarming, how special, and just how almost cry-worthy the last couple of weeks has been, seeing all of them share their stories together and just getting to meet up with them on the Blackout Tour and do meetups and just seeing how much each other means to them. So don't wait around. If you're thinking about doing it, get a move on, especially before festival season, because you will regret it otherwise, at patreon.com/Sapling. In the description of this and every episode, there's loads of names there that we thank. But as always, Sean's going to give a huge, mahoosive shout out to the elite members of our Sapling Podcast Patreon community.
Yes, thank you much. Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi, Janelle Castan, Paul Viva, Glorious President L, Viva La Revolution, Tony Michael, Scarlett Charlton, Dilly Califragilistic, XBL Grimwood, Mitch Perry, Nathan Croshaw, Molly Malloy and James Powerbank, Amy Louise, Kat Bess and Kieran Lewis, Alexandra Pemblinton, Jonathan Gutierrez, Jenny Robson, Amy Viva La Revolution Dawson, Murray Grimwood, Viva El Presidente, Viva La Revolution. I should explain that last week while we were away, we didn't have internet connection while we were on the boat in Miami / the Bahamas / the Atlantic. So Morgan let Patreon member El know that we might be running a little bit late with uploading the podcast. And now the podcast community has had a mutiny and is trying to make El the leader. So that's where we are. Thank you very much, Stuart McNaught, El Southfield, Carl Lloyd Robinson, Stephen Aston, Kate Puttock, Jenny Munster, Louis Cook, Carl Pendlebury, James McNaught, Martina McManus, Jason Heredia, John and Emma, Danny Eaton, all hail our President L. She will free us from scarlated tyranny it is, isn't it? Sean Foynes, Evan, Thomas O'Neill, Ollie Amesbury, patron of Sapling Podcast with Al Carroll, President of the World 2025. Dan Peregrine, Emily Perry, Kalila Keane, Adam King of the Goss Parcel, Josh Knock Knock, who's there, El Presidente and a new regime, Crisp, Vicky, Laura Russell, Pip at Life Garden Band. Again, clever idea, advertising band on, yeah. Thank you very much. Fraser Cummins, Kyle L. Bounty, Presidente, Carol Smith, and last but no means Connie Lewins and family. Thank you very much to all of those and everybody who signed up to our Patreon. Honestly, we never would have got to do this episode with the wonderful Danica and Jenny, but also we never would have been invited on the Emos Not Dead cruise if it wasn't for the Patreon, because that has literally kept this thing going. So if you've enjoyed any of these episodes, please think about joining up patreon.com/saplan.
Get on it, man. Come on.
Get on it, man, you bastards.
I've super enjoyed this, as always. Yeah, just a great insight. And I confidently now am saying that we will be back next week and every Friday with very don't special guests and great love. Look, we were late last week, but it was still out on the Friday. So it still counts.
Right. Think how fucking stressed you were on our fucking Thursday night, bud. Right, oh, think fucking, about it again. Yeah. On the Bro, you were editing the podcast on a beach in the Bahamas. The sea was clear and you were sat down editing. But fucking hell, stop putting pressure on us. We'll pull one out next week at some point, definitely 100%. Move it on. Let's move it from each and every week to, we'll probably get a fucking episode out next week. We fucking all fucking will,
these,
but
the motivation for these two have just decreased.
Dipped, yeah. Look, we might do an episode if we can be asked to record it, if we can record it, or if we got internet. But if we haven't, whatever. And just listen to all the episodes or whatever. Good times. Yeah. Good times. Sapnay! We've gone holiday mad. We've gone mad from being on holiday. Woo!
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.